It is a Thursday, which means we wrap with this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
We hate ESPN because they try to insist David Ortiz is a first baseman, but he's a DH. And I don't care about the guy, your buddy Jeremy, who sent me a picture of him playing first.
That's funny.
I threatened to, do I have to post a picture of Canseco pitching? That proves nothing. All right. It's all you, Nick.
All right.
A little bit of me.
We're now into day 5 of 19 for the SEC Media Days, and the SEC media must be as tired as ever when they made their SEC championship pick today, Vanderbilt. This is the same 4-8 Vandy that finished 4th in the SEC East ahead of Missouri and South Carolina with a 2-7 conference record. The SEC media are actually 5-19 at picking who they think will win the conference they cover. They went back-to-back in 94-95 picking Florida, back-to-back in 08-09 LSU in Florida, and in 14 when they picked Bama. A, the SEC media might actually have something here with Vandy. They really hadn't been that far off until Auburn tanked and finished 7th last season. Maybe Vandy is the college football world's Leicester City. B, clearly the true SEC media did not vote, and a pair of nerdy Vanderbilt alumni, Harvard of the South, hacked the voting system to give their alma mater some much-needed preseason hype. C, this is a low-key stance that the SEC Media Day coverage has gone too far, and until it's cut down to no more than 2 days, bad teams like Vanderbilt will always be picked to win the SEC.
Nerd alert! Nerd alert! That's how they ended up with Vanderbilt. I'm going B.
All right. Meanwhile, the Pac-12 media seems to have their heads on straight and enjoying being able to go to L.A. for only 2 days of coverage covering the conference. They picked Stanford to win the Pac-12 again. Phil Steele likes their strength on defense and some guy named Christian McCaffrey coming back. But a strong strength of schedule that may hurt them. Rounding up the top three was UW and Oregon. A, the Pac-12 media got it right. Stanford won the conference last year. They have a lot of key players returning and a top coach in the country, let alone the conference. B, the media got it wrong. The hype around Washington is real, and with all the players they have coming back and really only two tough road games, this opens the path for the Huskies to win the Pac-12 this year. C, I don't want to go around being pinned to a preseason projection without ever seeing a depth chart or having gone through the start of practice in the fall. I'm holding out on this.
Actually, yeah, if this were the Crunch Exchange, I really think I'd go pending because at some really key positions, Oregon, Washington, Stanford, USC, Cal, it's like 4 or 5 positions you really need to see the answer before you can make this kind of a bold prediction. I know the media people have no options, but I like that. I'm going C.
We managed to avoid talking about Balghazi yesterday because of the Perfect 10 movie discussion that caught fire, and it's probably going to catch fire again today. But we're going to talk about Balghazi now. Brady had his appeal denied and is likely going to have to sit out for the first 4 games of the season. We hope this story just will not die. I'm sure it'll come back in August, September, October, and probably for the rest of our lives. Especially since Brady and his legal team want to take this to the Supreme Court, whether we like it or not. A, Brady is done for. He will have to sit the 4 games. The Supreme Court will in no way take this case, and the NFL and Goodell will finally win. B, Brady is done, but not for 4 games. He's going to change his fight to lesser his suspension to anything less than 4, so somehow he can say he fought the NFL and won. C, no matter who wins, Brady or the NFL, we've all lost by talking, listening, and reading about all this ball talk.
I'll tell you what. I am not one of these make America great people. I still think our country is great. And in clinging to that hope, there is no way deflating footballs ends up before SCOTUS. We need this. We need A. For the sake of America, this has to be A. This isn't my pick. This is my hope. A.
The golf gods do not like people shooting 62 at majors. Phil Mickelson missed shooting a 62 when his 18-foot putt went 50% in and then lipped out for no reason at all other than the golf gods do not want people to shoot 62. That must be their thing. It puts Lefty in the lead after the first round and the new favorite to win the Open. But will he? A, Lefty is due for another Open championship after his win at Muirfield in 13. Lefty just loves Scotland. B, Phil had a great round, but even shooting 63 only gave him a 3-stroke lead, and at his age, going to wire-wire is a lot to ask for. C, I'm going to take the field on this. It's a major tournament, and sometimes the unexpected happens. We started with a 63 by a 46-year-old. It's going to be a wild week.
Tell you what, I misunderstood the rules when I was playing for Wayne Hills at my first draw. In order to qualify for state and get the luxury of 2 days off and playing in tournaments, you had to break 40 X amount of times. And so we were playing a triple match, and I'm on the ninth hole at Passaic County Golf Course, and I had about a 12-footer for 39, and it caddyshacked. It hung on the lip, and I was heartbroken until my coach came running at me with the tap, and he's like, no, 40 and under counts.
Oh.
So I'm going to go B just because I'm such a stat nut and a historian. His age, shooting 63, 15% of the last 40 years, the guy who led the first round was able to wire the field. I don't know if it's in the cards for Hefty B.
Our social aspect this week, the poll was posted on Twitter earlier, but I'm going to ask you now. Last week, we talked about the tight race for the AL East, but the race for the NL wildcard is going to be just as close, with five teams going after two spots. LA, Miami, the Mets, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh are all in the race. Pittsburgh has a five-game lead over Philly, and they're only one and a half back of Miami, who are tied with the Mets for the second NL wildcard spot. Are you up to date now?
Yes.
Okay. Who ends up with the second wild card? A, the Mets. Holding on to the experience they used to get through the World Series last year, they can fight off a young and inexperienced Miami team and get through the tough NL Central teams into the playoffs. B, Miami. They've got Stanton, Fernandez, Ozuna, and D. Gordon, who's coming back from suspension, and they can just throw caution into the wind and take a wild card spot away from a perennial playoff team like the Cards or Pirates. C, the Cards or Pirates. They both have experience, quality offense, top pitching to make a run not only for the wild card spot, but beyond.
I already took part in your poll, so my answer is already etched in stone. They're going to be getting Gerrit Cole back, their best starter. I think Nice and Liriano have to pitch better. Their ERAs are in the high fours. Kutch is going to play better. I think the Bucks make the wild cards. So, C.